My thoughts today, I'm going to continue in Hebrews chapter 11. I had to turn the sound on there because Johnny's not here today. So I'm going to move into the next set of verses, but I want to read the first verse, actually the first two verses, three verses, and then jump to my text for today, because I do want to go back and pick up a couple of thoughts out of the passage that I utilized last week. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds," and I told you that word in the Greek is the word we actually get our word eons from, the eons or the ages were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So that being said, then I want to come over to verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God." Verse 11 then says, "By faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful. Every day we are to take stock, to examine the nature of our lives. We're to examine the events that take place, and we do that in order to realize your great faithfulness. Lord, there are certainly moments where we're disappointed. There are certainly things that challenge or stretch our faith or our ability to understand or to grasp what is going on. But God, we are clearly to understand from Scripture that you are working inexorably towards your end and towards your purpose. The Bible says that you work all things after the counsel of your own will. And so we pray as we examine this passage today that we might glean from this text and from these lives things that will help us to continue to pursue, to continue to persist in that journey of faith, to trust you and to follow your will and your way. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I want to go back to that phrase, out of nothing, or that the worlds were framed by the things that are seen are not made of things which are visible. And I talked about that a little bit last week in the concept of faith, that when we look around us at the world and the way things are going, it can be very easy with the natural mind to somehow believe that God is falling behind in the score. And I've used this example before, but I use it again to highlight. You know, if I had the ability to know the future, to know without doubt what was going to happen, and I'll use the Packers, even though I'm a Bears fan, I'll use the Packers as an example. They're playing Tampa Bay today with Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And I knew before this game ever started that Green Bay was going to win by a score of 100-99. Yeah. I knew that. I mean, absolutely knew it was going to happen. I knew that to be a fact. I knew that to be indisputable. And I'm watching a football game, and there are 4 minutes left to go in the game, and Tampa Bay is leading 99-0. So, yeah. Now, you would think, boy, this team is in trouble. But if I know with absolute certainty that one team is going to win the game, what the score is 3 minutes before that game is over is irrelevant to the process. Now, that obviously that's a little excessive, because I don't think you can score 100 points in a football game in 3 or 4 minutes. It's almost humanly impossible. But the concept with faith is precisely that. If we allow the circumstances on the ground to shape our understanding, almost every time it will cause us to lose faith in God. We would begin to believe that somehow God was not on his game. God was not up to the challenge and up to the task. And I want to go back to those first two verses because it makes a very important point for us to understand when we talk about the fact that God made the world or God made the ages out of nothing, so that things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. Now, if you do much theological study, it's not going to surprise you to know that there is great debate around the idea of whether or not God made the world out of nothing. It shouldn't surprise us, but it may well surprise you. The Latin phrase that is used to talk about that is ex nihilo, E-X-N-I-H-I-L-O. Now, you probably don't spend much time thinking about that, but you may have heard of a philosophy of life called nihilism or nihilism, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-M. And basically, it's a philosophy, and it, like every philosophy, it has different flavors and different elements that are there. But it's a philosophy that essentially believes that life is basically meaningless, that it has no power, that it's nothing. And basically, it's the idea that life is nothing. So you're here, you exist, you're going to die, end of the story. And because you're going to die and you don't exist anymore, your life is really nothing. No matter what enjoyment or satisfaction you might get out of it, there's no greater cause. So when you talk about the fact that God made the world out of nothing, you get debate over whether God literally made it out of nothing, nothing, or whether he made it out of something, nothing. Meaning, what was the material there that God used to make the heavens and the earth? Well, your question you have to answer then is, where did the matter come from? If you believe that the matter already existed, then you somehow believe that matter pre-exists God. And if we really believe God is eternal, then it's not possible for anything to exist before God. God made it all. And so the principle that he uses to lay the foundation for the concept of faith is, look at the world around you. Look at everything that's there, all of the plant life, all of the animal life, all of the development of humankind, the substance of this planet, though certainly at the time this was written, people didn't have nearly the understanding of the universe, the galaxies, and all of those things that exist in that scope. But if God could make this something out of nothing, then the principle for us to understand as believers is, if he made all of this out of nothing, then he can make whatever you need in your life out of nothing, when there's absolutely nothing there for him to work with. And as you look at the examples that he gives you that sense of understanding that many of these people were facing what we would call almost insurmountable odds. And so last week we talked briefly about Cain and Abel, the dispute they had that led to the murder. We talked about Enoch, who walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And then you have that sixth verse that reminds us, without faith it's impossible to please him. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, if I can take you back to the idea of God making the heavens and the earth, God had to create the matter, and then he used the matter to make all of the other things that he made. We know, in fact, that he made man out of the dust of the earth. And when he says faith is the substance of things hoped for, there is a sense here in which we're to get the understanding that our faith is what God uses to build the miracles that take place in our lives. Those substances may be kind of formless. And the Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning was the heavens, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says this, the earth was without form and void. The world had no shape. It had no order. It had no life. It had nothing going on it other than God's original creative act. And there's a bunch of theology that goes into trying to figure out what happened there and all that time. But I love the idea of the formless, shapeless earth, or the chaotic earth, an earth that did not have the order of day and night instilled on it, that didn't have all of the animals and the human life that we know, a world that really was just kind of floating along and was waiting for God to move further. That's really what life is like. We don't know what the future holds. I always tell people, we don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what we're going to be doing. We have plans. We have ideas, but we don't necessarily know where we're going to be. So we really have very little control over the elements of life. We live life every day. We deal with whatever comes our way, and it can seem to be random. It can seem to be happening just without any cause or any purpose or anything like that. And when things begin to go in a negative fashion, we begin to understand that there is an adversary called the devil that is at work. There is a world that is broken and fallen that is contributing to all of these things that are going wrong in our lives. And if we don't keep that sense of what God is doing, then it does seem to be without any cause or without any great purpose in our lives. And so the writer of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. When I was a kid, I had Lincoln Logs, I had Tinker Toys, and I had that, I don't even know what they were called, the little red bricks that you could build houses out of. It had roofing panels and all of, I had all three of those things. I like to build things. You know, I like to put things together, and probably like most boys, I like to knock them down and tear them apart. But the idea is I would pour that tube, they most of them came in a big round tube with a lid on. I would open that thing up, dump it out on the floor, and there would lay the sticks and the connectors or the bricks and the windows or the Lincoln Logs and all of the things that you were going to put there. It was just laying there in a jumble. And only somebody who was interested in building would figure out anything you could build from that or something you could do from that. That's what humans are. We have the ability to perceive and to create and do. Our life is a little bit like that. It's like somebody just dumped the tube out and it's just laying there on the floor in a jumble. But the Bible says for God to put these things together in an orderly fashion, it requires faith on our part. And so what distinguishes the world or the Christian from the world is that God is at work in our lives via the vehicle of faith that he has granted or grown in our hearts to build a meaningful cause or a meaningful existence. You look at people who don't believe in God, who don't know God, and it doesn't matter how industrious they are, they're a little bit like the nihilist. If they don't believe in God, they really don't have a purpose in life. And if they don't understand eternity, when they die, their life is over. So faith really is the most meaningful path to understanding the concept of an existence that has value or has purpose. And redemption, the work that God does in our lives, builds on that and draws it together and gives us the assurance and the hope that we have a future that is worth striving for in the course of everyday lives. And so I'm going to take these three examples, maybe, if I have the time to get to them. I'm going to start in verse 7 with Noah. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, and there's that phrase again, things that he could not know, things that he couldn't understand even once he was told, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, you know, the world had never experienced a flood, certainly nothing on the scope or the nature of what God was going to do to bring judgment on the face of the planet. So even if God, quote, would have sat down with Noah and said, hey, look, I'm going to do this and so on, and the world's going to be totally inundated by a flood, you know, it's I know Bill Cosby's not a good figure anymore, but I grew up with the Bill Cosby comedy records, and I can just hear Bill Cosby going, right, God. You know, Noah, this is God, right. You know, the idea that God intervenes in life is kind of an amusing thought to many people. But God somehow gave Noah insight to a future of judgment. It says he was divinely warned. He was given an understanding that things were going to happen that would bring judgment on the earth. And that he had to, as a result of that, if he wanted salvation, he had to build the ark. Now I go back to faith and what I talked about last week, believing. Noah could have said, I believe God. He could have said, God never lies. What God said is true. But what did Noah have to do to be saved? He had to build the ark. Just believing, just agreeing with God was not enough. He had to construct an ark. And of course, we don't know precisely how long that took. The scripture doesn't give us a direct insight to the amount of time that it took to build that thing. And I'm sure along the way, he probably thought, this is kind of silly. I can't imagine a storm big enough to cause this thing to float, because it's going to take a lot of water to float that ark, believe me. But he had to engage with God. And so the premise is, by faith, Noah built an ark. Faith is not only believing what God says, but adjusting your life to do what is necessary to ensure God can accomplish his purpose. So faith is always about that working together with God. It's about not just believing a fact, but changing the course or the conduct of my life. And that becomes then the word trust. Noah didn't just believe God, he trusted God. He trusted that even though nobody had ever seen a boat like this, that it was going to do the job. That nobody had ever seen a boat like this, but God was going to use it to save him and to save his family. And so the element of faith is built on the concept of things we do not see, things we do not know other than by God giving us that insight, and things that we could not do in our own strength and our own ability. So he built the ark, and yet the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And I talked about this briefly last week. The foundation to real biblical faith is built around the concept of righteousness. God came to Noah because Noah was a righteous man. He warned Noah because Noah believed God. He warned Noah because Noah wanted to live his life to honor to God, in honor to God. And so we have out of this, however many people were on the planet at that particular point in time, we have only 8 people who were saved. You know, we come to the end of this age, and I hear a lot of people talk about revival, and I'm not at all disputing that God wants to bring people in, but the Bible quite often indicates that there are few that are going to find the path to salvation. It says the love of many will grow cold. It says that many are going to fall away, and of course, a falling away implies that they're connected to the church in some form or some fashion. And I think about Noah. Noah's building an ark. You can't have a greater witness to your neighbors than to be building this monstrosity of a boat in your yard. And when it calls him a preacher of righteousness, it means that he was declaring to people the truth about God. He was declaring to people the need to have a right relationship with God. And yet, when this boat is finished and the rain begins to come, not one person outside of his family shows up, because there was not faith found on the earth except for Noah and for his family. And so Noah, warned by God of things that he could not see, could not perceive, could not know, was granted that. Can you imagine God coming to you and telling you he wants you to build a boat? And I'm just going to use a round number. I'm not trying to pick the dimensions of the ark. But if I came to you and said, I want you to build a boat 300 feet long in your backyard, first of all, I'd say my yard isn't big enough to build a 300 foot long boat. I want you to build a boat 300 feet long, you know, right. And I want you to build it 3 stories high. What's a story? A story is on average about 10 foot. Maybe on a boat with the structure, you could do it about 8 feet. I don't know. But even if you grant 8 feet per level, that's 25 feet, 300 feet long. Got to be seaworthy. And God would certainly come to me if you wanted to build a boat that was seaworthy. We all know that. I'd be the guy bailing out the boat and going, how long is this going to last, God? My bucket's not very big. I don't have it. You know, you think about the things that God asked you, and I go back to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They didn't know it was going to be 40 years. It would not have been 40 years if they had faith. But once they did what they did and they were consigned to that judgment, the unrighteousness of their lack of faith, they had to trust God literally every day to sustain the course of their life. And that, as crazy as it sounds, That's exactly, in a sense, the way we need to understand faith with God. I can't have faith for yesterday, and I can't really have faith for tomorrow. I have to deal with what's on my plate today and trust God in what I see at the moment, because only God sees what is yet down the road. Only God sees what is as yet unseen. And so Noah, by faith, builds an ark, condemning the world or speaking that judgment to the world, and becomes an heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. Then the next example he gives is Abraham. And you know, this is probably crazier than building a boat. Because he comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to go out to a different country. I want to separate you from your family. Now, the reason he does that is because he wants to create an entirely new identity, an entirely new race. And so he does not want Abraham to be shaped by the extended family and the culture of that extended family. God wants to take him to someplace entirely new and start a new race with him as the foundational element of that existence. But God comes to him and tells him he wants to go out and doesn't tell him where to go. He just says, basically, go and I will show you where you need to go. Now you're back to that, do you trust God or don't you moment. It's one thing to say God knows the future and God knows where I should go. It's another thing to be willing to pack the Buick and hit the road. You know? And that's what faith ultimately comes down to. Faith is distinguished between those who do and those who don't. Not those who agree and those who don't, those who do and those who don't. Jesus told the story one time of the guy who went to his two sons, said to the one son, I want you to help me with the work. And he said, I'm not going to do it. And the father went to the second son, said, I want you to help me with the work. And he said, I will do it. But then as the story progresses, the one who said he wouldn't went, and the one who said he would didn't. Who was justified? The one who said he wouldn't, but the one who went. The one who said he would go but didn't go was not a good son. And so life is like that. There are a lot of people who say, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. But we're not all in unless we're totally willing to adjust our lives in any way God directs us to change it. People think the Bible is restrictive. But you know what? Following God is even more restrictive than the Bible. Because the Bible is talking about general principles, universal principles. Faith is talking about individual moments where God gives us direction as to what we need to do in our lives. And people don't like that, but I tell people that's exactly what life is about. What we're going through right now in this country is dividing the sheep from the goats. It's separating those who believe in God, believe in the biblical sense, and those who don't. And people think that's an awful thing, but it's not. God is demonstrating to the world the difference between a person of faith and a person who doesn't have faith. And we want to be in that crowd of people who are demonstrating what it means to have faith, who don't panic when things go wrong, because there's nothing to panic about. I go back to my football game. If I know I'm going to win 100-99 and I'm down with 3 minutes to go, I'm not worried because I know the outcome. I can be going, I don't know how God's going to do this, but if I know God's going to do it, there's no worry in my life. And I can tell you that about the end of the age. How's God going to do it? I don't know. What's the timing of it? I'm not sure. I have inklings about things. I have suspicions about things, but only God knows. And the point is, even when I don't know, I still follow the way that God has given. I believe in what God has asked me to do, and I do that. And so by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to receive the place that would he have as an inheritance. And we've talked about this. When Abraham died, he still did not own any of the land that we call the promised land. The only exception was the burial plot for his wife. He spent his whole life as a stranger, or as the King James says in the New Testament, a pilgrim, a sojourner. He spent his whole life as an illegal alien. Oh, sorry, I'm editorializing. As an outsider, he spent his whole life as an outsider in the land that is his for eternity. He never owned any of it. So if in this life I go, God, it doesn't seem like I'm getting enough of the blessings here. Just remember Abraham, who didn't have any of what God had promised him to the very day he died. Because it is not about this life. It's about seeing that which is unseen. It's about seeing that which is invisible. It's about seeing that which is only visible to God. That the only evidence for what we believe is God and God's word to us, whether it's this word or whether it's the word that he gives us by the Spirit to trust him and to follow him. When I get to the point where I have to decide between the visual evidence and the God who promised me, what he's saying is faith makes us choose the God who promised me. There have been many moments in my life, I've spent most of my life in smaller churches. And I've been in churches that couldn't pay the bills and couldn't pay the pastor many times. Many times, many weeks, I would go without any salary. My wife wasn't working, we had two small children, and I can assure you there were moments where I grumbled and I said, hey God, it's Brian here. I got a college degree, I got a wife and two kids, and I got no paycheck this week. How do I make the car payment? How do I buy groceries? Do you realize the sacrifices I'm making for you here? You know, that's human nature. But those are the moments where I have to decide, am I doing this because of a reward I get here, or am I doing this because I honestly believe what the Bible has to say about eternity? And it's the challenges of life that discriminates or separates, and it happens over the course of time. That's why the Bible talks about a great falling away. It's talking about a large company of people who are associated with a church, but over the course of time, they begin to fade. The parable of the sower, the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches begins to crowd out the wealth of the promise that God has given. And so Abraham stands as that example of somebody who said when God called him to go, he went, not knowing where he would go. Not knowing where he would go. By faith, he lived in the land of promise as in a foreign country, living in tents. I hate camping. And I know they didn't build structures, but I hate camping. I don't like tents. I don't like sleeping bags. I don't like hard ground. I don't like any of it. But the thing that is most frustrating about tents to most people is they are a temporary, not a permanent dwelling. And if you're living in a tent your whole life, you're thinking, I don't have anything anywhere. Because all I got to do is fold this down, put it on the back of a camel, and move on to the next place. Now, there may be some, you know, excitement or enthusiasm to that, but the idea is Abraham lived his life as a stranger in the land that he owned or was going to own for eternity, never possessed any of it. But faith says, I see the invisible. And I don't think I'm going to get to Sarah here. We'll come back and pick up with Sarah next week. But you see what he says. In verse 10, he was waiting or looking, really is the concept, looking for a city that has foundations, and the idea is permanent foundation, whose builder and whose maker is God. That's what he was looking for. He was able to understand that this land was not the end of the purpose. And so if you're keeping score in life, and I'm about to turn 65, and I can go, God, it doesn't look like I'm on the winning side here. I don't have a lot saved up for retirement. I don't have a lot of possessions. I don't have this. I don't have that. If I let that color my thinking, I'm going to pursue entirely different things. But when my heart says, this life is not the end all and be all, that I'm looking for that place that God himself has made. And you know what? After we see what's happening to the major cities, aren't you anxious for a city which is indestructible? Aren't you anxious for a city which is filled with people of righteousness? You know, I've often said, if we lived in a good country, you would never have to lock your doors. You could have every dollar you own laying on the kitchen table and nobody would ever take it. You know what? That's kind of what heaven's going to be. It's a place where everything is safe, everything is secure, and everything lasts forever. And so faith is what drives us across that barrier of the natural man and the natural mind into the promises of God. It's ultimately, as I said last week, it's when that which is unseen becomes more real to us than that which we can see. And that's when we know we are truly a child of God. That's when we know we're truly a person of faith, because we know that the God who made everything out of nothing can still make everything out of nothing in my life, even if it's the day before I die. Even if it's the last hour, the last 3 minutes of the game, God ensures that those who love Him always come out as winners, because they have the only promise that lasts forever, the promise of eternal life, to dwell forever with Him. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your gracious work in our lives. Lord, we realize life is full of challenges. As I often say, it's a broken world. It's filled with broken people, people who are lost, people who are rebellious, people who are angry and don't even understand why, people who have been separated from family, people who have very little of this world's resources. But only faith can help us navigate all of those challenges and still be a person of hope and a person whose life is filled with peace and goodness. God, we pray for Your help in our lives, literally day by day. We pray for that wisdom that's from above, because God, it certainly would be easy for us to lay down that shield and to walk away. It would certainly be easy to say there's got to be some reward out there for the life that I'm living. But God, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. We don't trust the earthly frame, but we lean wholly on Jesus' name. God, give us that grace. Give us that wisdom. Give us that strength and that help, that hope from above. God, may we fit into this hall of fame of faith. Our names will never be in the Bible, but they are added to the scroll of those who trusted God in the most difficult circumstances, because they know that God is able, because they know that God is good, and they know that God keeps His promises. So God, give us that grace to sustain day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.